Welcome back, y'all. An interesting bomb that Laura Feller just posted within the last hour on Queen City Press. And we're just fortunate that Laura was able to join us this evening. So, Laura, without further ado, we've got Adam, Nate, Hello. Myself, and Laurel. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad I was able to get my daughter to bed and join you guys here.
Well, you have really got FC Cincy Twitter and Reddit and Discord. I can't imagine what the Facebook group is doing right now, but you've got all for Cincy Land. Just reading what you sent out this evening about Brenner, the transfer request, the club turning it down, and I don't want it to be our words. We want you to be able to share. You reported the story this evening. Kind of take us through it.
Yeah, I mean, I think fans could all see that something was going on with Brenner. Just his body language the last couple games at home. He walked off the pitch pretty quickly. You all saw the frustration with the whole PK, who was going to take it against Inter Miami, where Lucho ended up taking it. So you could just kind of see that the frustration kind of building in him. And it turned out that he had asked for a transfer, and over the weekend, an offer came in, and there was a chance for him to go on loan back in Brazil, his home country, where, sure he would have been happy to go, but FC Cincinnati ended up declining the offer, and now everyone's kind of wondering what's going on. It does seem like the club is interested in kind of mending the fences, if they're declining an offer, and I don't know the full details, haven't really gotten a response from the club yet, but seems like they're gonna have to work something out with him, because he's not going anywhere. So that's kind of the gist behind it, but I'll let you guys go on, and I don't know what other details you want to pin me down on.
we'll just pick your brain. I mean, this is the beauty of it. We're just casual conversation. With that, obviously if the club intends to mend the fences, build the fences, build new fences, if you will, like you said it, Brenner, the body language, leaving the pitch immediately after the match ended, alone, away from his teammates, the penalty that he wanted to take and Lucho took, and the miscommunication there, playing him out of his natural position. You bring in a DP9, a young DP9 in that, and at the time, a club or a league record transfer fee, bringing this guy in, and now he's going to play left wing in a formation that you're changing formation to get him into left wing. I don't know. I mean, can you speak to that at all? Do you think is it primarily just everything that's led up to this? I mean, we all know some of the frustrations he's had with last year, and speaking Portuguese and the club letting the translator go or not having a translator for him all year, the green card issues this off season and preseason, and getting here late, and then the lack. Like, if you had to pinpoint one thing, what is the driving force for Brenner saying, hey, I want to try something else?
Well, I do want to clear one thing up there. So I did a story on Brenner in the off season where we kind of went through his first year. He was really excited coming into this year. He felt like he had an okay year last year, but he definitely felt like he could have done more. It was a big adjustment for him. He never actually complained about the translator thing. That was some of the details that I kind of wrote into the story just to kind of explain, what he went through last year, because he was 20 years old, however, 21. Coming to a new country where he doesn't know anyone. He, didn't speak the native language here. He understands some Spanish, but I think there's a big misunderstanding within the club and with outside the club about the similarities in Spanish and Portuguese, because it is not the same. Like, you can pick up certain words and maybe phrases, but it's not the same. They did have a translator for him through August. It was a young lady from Purdue, and she was actually from Sao Paulo, so the town that he had played in last. And So that she was very helpful to him. But once she was gone, you know, there wasn't really anyone that spoke his language. And like I said, he did not complain about that in the story. But that was something that people outside the club, people inside the club, thought was something they could have done better to help him adjust. Just have someone that could connect with him more on his, you know, his first language. So there was that. He, you know, it was just, he was looking at guys like Chicharito, you know, they, guys that had not great first years and then took off in their second year. So he was looking for that to be, that was going to be his year. He was going to, you know, double digit scoring. He was excited about it. But then, you know, he gets here and he's told, you know, we want you to complete this green card process. He had started it, you know, long ago. It's a long process. Went back to Brazil and ended up stuck in Brazil. Basically, they were holding his passport after he had his green card appointment. And that was something Chris Albright did talk about last week was, you know, they thought it would only take, they thought he would miss, you know, maybe half the preseason. But he ended up missing the whole preseason, got the green card and got up here right as the team was coming back from Florida. So he was behind on in every aspect. You know, he was training on his own, but that there's just no, you know, it's not the same as being with your team and, you know, getting competitive matches. So he's been behind and trying to catch up. And, you know, it seemed like he was on a path to get back into the starting lineup. You would think after four, maybe five games that he'd be ready because he's been training this whole time too. But he still hasn't cracked the starting lineup. And then, you know, they've been happy with Brandon Vasquez and Dom Baji up top. So they have been using him in a winger role, which I can kind of understand. You know, you want to reward the two guys that are out there and working hard because Dom Baji, even though he hasn't scored, he does a lot of things that don't show up in the stats.
Yeah, Dom's been great. Yeah, I mean, we can't argue on that for sure.
I mean, yeah, and then Brandon. He plays left back when you need him to.
Yeah, exactly. So I understand, like, they want to figure out a way to get all three of those guys on the field if they can. But, you know, it's Brenner, that's not his natural position. And I think that frustrated him because he's just not a guy that wants to come back on defense. Like, you just don't see it. So I think that's kind of frustrating to him that he's just, you know, he already feels behind. I think that's where it really is. It's just he felt behind. He didn't feel like the team set him up to be successful this year. He was looking forward to a big year. Then he gets thrown kind of into a different position. He's trying to figure that out. And I just think that it was all just kind of mounting up. And it got to this point where he just wasn't feeling valued. So that's kind of where we're at, I guess.
Well, I mean, so yeah. To piggyback off of that, right? So he's fired up. He's coming in new general manager, new coaching staff, new system of play. You know, he misses out on that preseason. Now he's back. And you mentioned, like, I myself have been questioning, like, how many weeks does a person need to get up to match fitness? But where do you feel Albright and Noonan stand in all of this? Because on one hand, you know, you mentioned that they've tried, you know, they want to get all three on the field. If they were to do that, my immediate assumption is they would be running a 4-3-3. They've had success with the, you know, 3-4-1-2 in the two up top. Why aren't they willing to give him a shot, even though Dom's playing well? Like, where do you think Noonan and Albright sit with him? Do they want him as part of this long-term project, or does he feel like the odd man out based on what you pick up?
Well, I mean, talking to Pat Noonan, because I've literally asked Pat Noonan a question about Brenner every week. I mean, you have to. He's their $13 million investment, right? And, you know, he's behind. And so, and I know the fans want to know when they're going to see him. So I've asked him every week, and I even prefaced the last time, like, I know I ask you this every time, but he's been very complimentary of Brenner, especially after the Miami game, even when they had that miscommunication. And I'm sure that was frustrating for everyone. They saw how Brenner reacted to that. They saw how the fans reacted to him just, you know, visibly showing, you know,
it was a bad look.
Yeah, it wasn't great. So, but he was still complimentary of how Brenner responded in training and just how good he was looking. And then the same thing after the Charlotte game, he was very complimentary of just what he was seeing in training. And, you know, he still has mentioned like trying to get him up to fitness. So it's, you know, maybe that is still the issue. But so I asked again after the game Saturday, because I thought for sure, you know, by match six, he would be ready, because, I mean, really, they had hoped to get him in the opener at Austin. They were going to, I think it seemed like they were going to try to get him in late in the game, just, you know, give him a little run. But that game was so far out of, you know, there was no point in putting him on when they were down 5-0 and it was cold and rainy. You know, you're probably just putting him in at greater risk of injury. So, but that he could have played that game. So that was another week that he had been training and preparing for a match. And then the only other one he missed was Orlando. He had a little bit of a back tweak and, you know, it didn't make sense to fly on a plane and, you know, go through all that with, you know, he wanted to be ready. I think he was thinking he was going to be ready the next week or soon after. So he didn't want to, and the club maybe, you know, didn't want to put him in that position. So those are two matches that he missed that he could have played. And so by week six, you get the impression that he should have been ready by that point. Barrial, I think he started, what was it, the Charlotte match? Yeah, that was his first one. That was 5. He had not even traveled to Austin for the first one. So he was the same situation where he missed preseason as well. So, you know, by match six, it seemed like he should have been ready. I asked Coach Noonan afterward, you know, is this a, you know, we see what Brandon's doing, Baji, you know, how much of it is what they're doing? Is it fitness? Like, what's the deal? And he didn't seem very interested in going into that. He just left it as it's fitness and production of the other guys that are on the field. So I don't know. It just seemed like the tone had kind of changed there. Now, it wasn't the greatest game, so maybe the tone was a little, you know, maybe there was just, he was disappointed in how the team played that night. And but just the reading that you get, it just seems like something kind of changed there.
Yeah, I was just quick follow up on that. The first is to remind Pat that when Brandon and Brenner were together at the end of last year, we were pretty successful scoring. You know, Vasquez was breaking out and Brenner was still producing as he had. But more so, what I'll get back is what I want to follow up on is there were some rumblings that maybe some of the reason that he wasn't starting was because the player himself was saying that I'm not ready. Like that he was maybe given the opportunity to be a starter, but maybe decided maybe I'm not quite up to where I want to be and turned it down. Did you hear anything about that? Or has that ever come up in any conversations or any, I don't know, just anything that you've seen in that it might actually be the player, in this case Brenner, saying, hey, don't start me yet, I'm not ready? Or is it just the company line that Noonan's been given, which is we've got to get him up to match fitness?
It's really hard to like, I have heard things like that as well. I haven't actually gotten to speak to Brenner, so I don't really want to say.
You don't know Portuguese? Come on. No, I got a job for you if you do.
Well, I can't speak for Brenner.
Sure.
You know, I should preference that on all of this. Like, everything is through, you know, what we're told. So, it did seem like he was working, like, just from what we see in practice, it did seem like he was working toward a starting opportunity maybe as early as Charlotte. So I don't know if it was something where they wanted him to play winger that game and he didn't want to. I mean, maybe he didn't feel comfortable enough yet. I don't want to speculate on that, I guess.
That's fair. I just figured I'd ask.
Yeah, but I do. Oh, go ahead.
No, okay, go ahead, Laura. Finish that thought.
I mean, you mentioned last year, and that was something, you know, people have been asking, like, well, who would we see Brenner with? And obviously it would be Brandon if they did go 2 up top, because he's got 5 goals in 6 games. You're not going to take Brandon out. But even last year when we saw that pairing, like, that's when you mentioned how Brandon started really coming to life and scoring goals. But, you know, people can look and say, well, Brenner's production wasn't as great then. Well, I mean, he had already played 31 straight matches to that point. He was kind of wearing down, where Brandon was completely fresh. And, you know, so the, it was a partnership that benefited Brandon at the time. And you do want to see what it would look like where, you know, Brenner's got fresh legs too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Alex Steck talked about this during the Charlotte match 2 weeks ago. In about the 65th minute, she did mention about, you know, he wants to play. He wants to be on the field. So he's being asked to play left wing, not what he wants to be playing, but he wants to be on the field. So I do want to give the club credit for having, you know, Alex mentioned that during the broadcast. But Laurel, I want to go back to the investment part of this and how that may have played into this offer and the rejection of the offer. You mentioned it. We paid a $13 million transfer fee at the time. I think it was, what, third or fourth largest in MLS. I think it still is potentially top five of all transfer fees in MLS. I think Atlanta's got all the other ones, right? But yeah, here's a young U22 player in his early 20s that we're bringing up as a, you know, Brazilian DP9, and everyone's excited as a YDP. And he didn't choose to get, you know, bought for $13 million with $2 million investment. So, you know, the club has got, you know, obviously $15 million into wanting him to come here and be a part of the next, you know, successful venture. We're going to, you know, come out of now three wooden spoons and keep moving forward. But how does that investment and the club having that, you know, from a sunk cost perspective or a, hey, we want to maximize the value of the $15 million we've committed to this player. How do you think that investment has played into this whole scenario over the last week with the offer from Internazionale?
I mean, they paid that transfer fee because they have his contract through 2025 because they see him as someone that they can develop and sell for a profit. So, I mean, that's definitely playing into any offer that they're going to get. They want to recover their money or at least have some kind of promise that they're going to get their money back and, you know, maybe get a little bit of profit that they were hoping for in the first place, which, I mean, I think the loan is interesting. The fact that it was a loan that they turned down because that's an opportunity for him to get his value back up in his home country where he's comfortable. And then maybe they can sell him. But, you know, I don't know what all, you know, there was a purchase option included in the loan. So that might have been, you know, maybe the purchase option wasn't as high as they had wanted. But I did.
So is it safe to say the purchase option was not the same investment the club has made in him today? Is that a safe assumption?
That's a safe assumption. I would, yes. I mean, I did do some asking around just to kind of get a sense of what would be a fair offer at this point. You know, he scored 8 goals last year, which, you know, for what they're paying for him, that's not great. But for his first year in MLS, it's pretty decent. But his value, if you look at Transfer Market, his value is down to 7.7. So I asked around a little bit, just some people that I consider experts in, you know, transfers and just contracts and things like that. And I was told as low as $5 million would be reasonable right now. But that the sell on would be like the most important part. But then that's also, you know, if there's a sell on fee that they have to pay to Sao Paulo, then, you know, I guess that gets a little tricky too. So I don't know the exact numbers, you know, I can't put out all the details of the loan because I don't have it all. But from just the gist that I was getting, it was a pretty fair offer. And it definitely was more than $5 million is what I'm sensing. So, I mean, anywhere.
More than five, less than 13.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 5 to 7 was what seems like people would expect now. I was told, you know, if he wanted to go to, you know, Saudi Arabia or somewhere, they could get like $15 million for him now from there. But I don't think that's where he wants to go. Yeah.
Saudi money, buddy.
Saudi money, exactly. Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
Just ask pity. I had to. It was too easy.
I thought he was coming here.
I'm just going to
She's gonna go that way. Laura, dig us out of this one.
I'll dig us out, Laura. So I'm gonna put you on the spot, but not the way you think. Given the circumstances, right? So it is what it is. Player wants out. The front office, as it stands, wants to keep him, whether it's Albright, Noonan, Carl, Jeff, who knows? But does the player stand a chance to succeed here at this point? Does this, you know, now that this is out, and I know how our fan base is, you're either with us or you're against us. I mean, I've already seen tweets.
Already seen tweets all over social media right now.
Like, they take it out of context and, like, oh, if you're not with us, I don't care what your circumstances are, you're out. Does Brenner stay here? Now that this is public knowledge, so to say, does Brenner stay here? Does the club, has he forced their hands to say, all right, you know, it is what it is. We've got to move you best we can. Your opinion.
Are you still there, Laurel?
Might have lost her. She's not going to give us her opinion then.
You pinned her down too much.
She's still on.
No, she's still on.
She ducked. She's like, I'm out. Tired of your nonsense.
Well, as we get Laurel back on, here she is right here.
Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
Did you hear Nate's? He was trying to pin you down, so I understand exactly why you muted us.
No, I don't know what happened. It just disappeared. I don't know if I
Laurel, for what it's worth, I've been there.
several times. Dark side.
I did hear your question, but now I'm thrown off and I'm trying to remember. You were asking if there's any chance that Brenner...
Yeah, does he stay or does he go? Like, given the circumstances, where does he land? What happens?
I mean, I will tell you because, you know, I was kind of following this before, you know, I've been on this since at least Saturday. So I was actually kind of surprised that he was training Tuesday and then again Wednesday and again today. Or what's today? Today's Wednesday. Okay, so yeah, I was kind of surprised he was training. Like, just the way that it's, you know, what I was hearing and seeing, I, you know, if he didn't want to be here, I didn't see why he would be training. But so I think that the fact he is training, you know, is a sign that, you know, he still wants to play. Maybe he could sit out and, you know, throw a temper tantrum, but I mean, he really wants to play. You can tell. And like you, Stephen, you said how Alex mentioned he wants to play. So I think that he'll work it out as just so he can play. You know, I can't, you know, be sure of that, but I think there's a chance that it can work out. You know, I do have faith in Pat Noonan and Chris Albright, just as far as their ability to work with players and what I've seen just with their interactions. Like, I think that they can mend the fences or, you know, mend the relationship if Brenner's up for it. But, you know, I don't think that Pat Noonan, you know, my impression is, you know, he's been trying to give him a fair chance in training and been complimentary of him. So I don't think it's anything with Pat Noonan and Brenner that I'm aware of, but,
it's tough. No, yeah, it's tough. And there, you know, we can, again, if you reference social media and Twitter, like, you know, there's already people likening it to Frankie Amaya, and wanting to get out or, you know, just get more opportunity in any way, shape or form, even though Frankie had plenty here. So it's a tough question. It's something we don't know. And we're still a very young fan base, right? Like, somebody mentioned the other day, I saw something on Twitter, like, you know, this fan base is still very green and you've got a lot of casuals still learning the game. And you've got a lot of diehards who are, you know, frustrated after having three bad years of, you know, team performance. So it's a tough question for sure. Adam, you have anything you want to follow up on, or Laurel, you can go ahead too.
Well, I was going to say that I don't feel like this is the same as Frankie. Like, I mean, you can see just how things turned out for Frankie last year in New York. Like, you know, he wasn't starting last year. He is contributing now, and I think he still leads the league in assists. So he kind of didn't seem like he was prepared. You know, Brenner's at least, you know, from what I can see, he's preparing, and, you know, when he's on the field, he looks like he's pretty lively. So I don't think he's mailing it in and trying to, you know, force his way out. That's not the impression I get. You know, things can change, but I wouldn't yet compare this to Frankie. I think he's just frustrated, you know, thought he could go home, get his value up and go on to Europe, because that's what he really wants.
A soft reset, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll just kind of try to expand a little bit on that too, because a lot of what you've presented tonight is, you know, we've gone over sort of the sins of the past with the club. We've talked about maybe the frustrations of the present, some caused by the club, but some, it seems anyway, caused, you know, just by Brenner and maybe his immaturity or just the situation and his frustration. So it's not so much like who needs to capitulate to make this work, especially now with this news being out there. But there was, you mentioned in your article that there was a meeting over the weekend with his representatives and I guess some of the club representatives. Do you have, was that a meeting to talk maybe specifically about this opportunity here? Or was that something to say, look, like we need to figure out a path forward if he's not leaving, which obviously right now he's not. So do you have any insight as to what that, who was involved in that meeting and what the outcome or what the subject matter of it was?
Yeah, I was kind of just trying to allude to, you know, because this came up and, you know, people saw Brenner's representatives on the pitch, I guess, before and after the game. He was talking with fans. You know, I actually had someone message me saying that he was in the team store purchasing some, you know, he was kind of talking about it, talking about Brenner a little bit publicly. And it seemed like they were there to discuss this offer. And then I guess, you know, it seems like maybe at some point the conversation kind of shift to, well, you know, how do we move forward? You know, we're not accepting this offer. So I'm not sure when that changed. It did seem like something, you know, the narrative of it kind of changed over the weekend. Carl Lindner and Jeff Birding were at the training facility. I guess I said Monday, but now that I'm thinking about it, my Monday with FC Cincinnati is Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
I need to fix that. Yeah. So it was actually Tuesday. So that's my bad. I'm always, my days are off when we don't have training on Monday. But so yeah, Tuesday, they were both at the facility. You don't see that very often. I mean, it happens every once in a while, but it seemed like there was probably more discussions going on. And, you know, I don't know if they met with Brenner. So I don't have the full details on that, but yeah.
You said a couple of times that the, not the attitude, but the, like something changed about it, or maybe it is like the attitude. Did it change for the better or for the worse? Like between the, I guess, the perceived relationship between club and player, because you mentioned a couple of times, like then it just kind of seemed like things changed, right? What do you mean? Like, hey, we don't really like him anymore, or hey, we love him and we want to build around him. Like I'm trying to figure out what that is and what that change is that you're talking about.
I think, you know, my impression just from the club perspective was probably a little bit of frustration that, you know, he is wanting out and, you know, they're not ready to make this deal. On his part, I think that it, you know, it seemed like, I think there was a little bit of hope on over the weekend that it was going to get done, that they were going to be able to work this out and it would just be, you know, a loan and you come back and everything's all good, you know. So I don't know where it changed as far as like, no, now we're not accepting this. You know, maybe they looked into the details more and it wasn't exactly what they thought it was and wasn't going to, you know, kind of guarantee them what they were hoping to get. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to know exactly what changed, but it did. I just got the impression that Saturday was more hopeful that he was going to be moving, and then Tuesday, it didn't seem like that was going to happen.
And that hope was coming from Brenner's team, right? When you say the hope that he was going to be moving, that was more from Brenner's team and his rep, correct?
I mean, both sides seemed like they felt, I mean, just from what I'm hearing, and So it's just, you know, from my sources that I've talked to, it seemed like they all thought they were on the same page that they were going to be able to come to some kind of agreement. So
gotcha. And that's what, is this the first time there's been a transfer request or offer made for Brenner since he's been here?
It's the first time I'm aware of him asking for one. I do know that some clubs had inquired about him, and I know from what I've heard, like Ajax is still kind of watching him. I think there was something out there that they had put an offer in over the winter.
That's just TT.
Yeah, I don't know how I. Yeah, I think that's probably where I've heard it.
Gotcha.
But
yeah, I recall reading something as well. Do you think the club is aligned at this moment on what to do with Brenner?
I mean, it's hard to say because Brenner is not Chris Albright's player. You know, he didn't bring him in. That was Jeff Birding and Gerard Nykamp and, you know, Hunter Freeman. I remember when Brenner came, he was very complimentary of Hunter. So he was involved in that. He's still here. I don't know how involved he is in all that, but Chris Albright has mentioned very, you know, many times about how they wanted to build around Brenner. And, you know, he's talked about how in Philadelphia, they couldn't get a player like Brenner because ownership wasn't willing to invest like that. So he seems like he wants a player like Brenner. I can't say that they, you know, he doesn't want them and, you know, Jeff Birding still wants them or anything like that. But it does, you know, it seems like maybe the valuations of him, maybe they're different within, you know, between.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, it's probably the evaluation, not whether he's the good player or not whether they want him here. Probably the valuation, right, of how much. Yeah, that's fair.
If you look at it from a GM perspective and Albright's perspective, like, he's building his team, right? There's pieces that may fit from the prior regime, but still his team. Lucho fits, right? Jeff Cameron fits, right?
Moreno,
well, that's his guy, right? So it's definitely a transitionary period. Definitely unique. So Laurel, anything you want to pick our brains with, or do you want to give yourself the fantastic plug of where to find you? And
if you're not following her now and subscribing,
what you do? I mean,
I'm curious what you guys all, I mean, just what are your, so I tried to write my article. I tried to be really just neutral and I tried to be as balanced as I could. You know, people can read, I know they're all going to view it differently. And that's kind of what I wanted was, you know, I don't want this to be the club's right, the club's wrong, the, you know, Brenner's right, Brenner's wrong. I didn't. You know, it's going to end
gonna
up,
happen.
You always know that's going to happen, but I kind of wanted to just present what we know and what I could, and then let people kind of decide for themselves. So I guess I am curious, just what was your impression?
I guess I'll go first since I asked you the question. My impression, and we were going to do this off air with you, so I'll leave, I will draw the line in the proverbial sand and say, you asked the question, I will let her rip, but I'll be PG-13 because I know you got kids at home. But from the standpoint of what it is, I am a Brenner fan, just like I was a Lacadia fan. It's weird that the two most high-profile players we have had have been against it for whatever reason, way, shape, or form. Their time in Cincy has just not been great. I could also say for any player in our MLS era, their time in Cincy has not been great. But from the standpoint of Brenner, like, I get it. He's a young guy. Like, we often forget. I know he's cost X amount. He's a DP, blah, 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 blah. There is still a person. There is still an individual behind all of that. And at age 21, age 20, living in America, having never left Brazil, there's the language barrier. There's the culture barrier. There's the friendship family barrier. There's the I'm on my third head coach barrier, I'm my second GM barrier, there's I'm on the worst team in the league barrier. And there's all these things against this guy. If you are that much stacked against it, like, his production last year was stout. 8 goals to assist, given the circumstances. Sign me up on a team that let in, what, 74 goals last year? How much possession do they really have that was meaningful? Teams last year, just to let us hold on to the ball until we turned it over, hit them on the break, done. Easy win, 3 points. That was the game plan. It was literally written and handed to our staff last year. Here's what we're going to do. Watch us do it. They did it. So from that standpoint, I don't fault Brenner at all. Like, if I'm in his shoes and the circumstances, like, and I can't even say I'm going to be vocal because my staff and my head coach and front office doesn't even speak the same language as me. I can't have a candid conversation because I got a translator breaking down my emotional but heartfelt comments. Like, he's just stacked against it. And my hope, I'll leave it at this and I'll toss it over to Adam next, but my hope is that if he is here, this fan base understands the circumstances and embraces him. You want him to succeed, embrace him. If you want him to fail, turn your backs like you did to Frankie. I'll use that as one last example, or turn your backs on any player that didn't want to be here for whatever reason. But there's more to this story, and we need to, if he's going to be here, if he's going to wear the orange and blue, we need to back him 100% or just change teams, pick another team to support. So, Adam, all you, buddy.
Yeah, no, that's well said, Nate. Some of the initial reaction on social media has been directed at Albright, and that Albright is somehow responsible for this, and Albright has screwed this up. And, you know, in Chris's and Pat's defense, I feel like, again, they're cleaning up and paying for a lot of sins of the past. And we've seen it kind of bubbling up with this Brenner stuff. I'm sure when they sent him home to get his green card, they had the best intentions for player and club in mind. Probably more so for club, because they wanted the international spot. And what does he care if he has a green card? But they didn't look at it as an interruption that became this huge cloud and just one more thing in the bucket of stuff that was potentially frustrating and pissing this 21-year-old kid off. So looking at, after reading the article, though, do I blame the club for trying to say, look, if we can send you here on a loan, and if there is an option to buy that we're happy with, let's go ahead and send you down there. You can get your footing back, knowing that we're going to part ways with you and we get our investment back. It's a clean break. It's probably best for everyone involved because, again, you're not part of this regime. You weren't brought in by this regime. And while you may be a player that he couldn't have afforded in Philly, you may not be the type of player they would have ever gone for in Philly. So I can understand, like, the club looking for maybe an equitable way out for both sides. I kind of, to me, that shows a lot of maturity and respect on the club side. Now, it didn't work out. And it seems, again, like the club is trying to find a way forward with him then, because the goal of buying him to begin with was to always raise his value and sell him on for profit. That's the league we're in. That's what we need to do with our players. I get a little frustrated reading between the lines on this, and I think that some of the resistance to that is now falling in Brenner's lap, and it's on the player now. But I have to look at it through the lens of everything that player has been through. I just hope that there is a way, because, you know, once it's known that somebody has asked out, like Nate said, like, we know he doesn't want to be here, at least under those circumstances that he's dealt with. If we can make those circumstances better, if we can find a path forward, I think he can be successful and we can get out of him what we originally wanted, was a few successful years and a nice payday in the end. But that's not an easy sort of street to navigate. I'm hoping, because of the experience that both Chris and Pat have, that they do that the right way, that this doesn't now, because this has been done, it doesn't become a, that's it, now you're going to see him just down on the two team until we can send him to Saudi Arabia for the money. That the fact that you said that we could send him there and get our money back tells me that they're more interested in what's best for the player, not just the money involved. Because if they wanted their money back, they could go get it. So the idea that the club doesn't give a shit and is just holding out for $15 million, if they can go get $15 million, who cares where you send him? He has no say. So it sounds like the club is trying to maybe repent a little bit for what they've done. I give him credit for that, and I hope they're able to do it, because I want him to be better. Yeah. I want him with better players around him. So, Steven?
Yeah, I'll just start. We're a better team if Brenner is on the team, starting, contributing, playing with joy and freedom. And we haven't seen that this year, obviously, for all the reasons you stated, Laurel. But I'll kind of go back. You know, I moved overseas when I was 24, and I moved to Italy. And fortunately, I was in an office that had about a dozen Americans and, you know, two dozen or so Italians. But so I worked with Americans and Italians. The Navy sent me to immersion school to learn Italian. When I had to do press conferences in whatever location, they made sure that I had an English translator that spoke, you know, understood American English, in fact, at those press conferences, right? So, yeah, I want to go back to, I don't blame Brenner either, because at 20 coming to the States, he's never been out of Brazil to live in a community like Cincinnati, which is a wonderful community, but there's just not that many Portuguese speaking folks here. And the club didn't understand that. They just did not understand the impact of a 20-year-old without his family, without his support network in a new environment. And I just don't think we have put the foundation around him or the building stones around him to have him succeed. And so I guess I'm not surprised that he's frustrated. I'm not surprised that he was seeking a transfer to go back home because he's dealt with a lot and to regain his value or just regain confidence and maybe the joy of playing. I think he has it when he's on the field, but the joy even off the field. So I'm not surprised at all, but what I am concerned about is there's a lot of water under the bridge now, and the fan base is not taking this well by everything we've seen the first 2 hours of the story breaking. I don't know what the solutions are going to be. You know, are they going to go start him immediately, you know, in 2 weeks at Atlanta and let him be one of the top two players as a result of this? We don't know. We'll have to see. Have to wait and see. But the other part of this that I worry about is that he has vocal representation. He has representation that wants the best for him, is seeking the best for him, and they're going to continue to push the club to get certain things or to just let them know that if they're not happy or something of that nature. So I'm concerned that I'm not sure how we mend that fence. I think it's easy to say, okay, we didn't want to transfer him. Okay, come back in. We're gonna do everything we can to support you. But there's so much water under the bridge. The fan base, man, I'm not gonna be happy if I start hearing boo birds at TQL when Brenner comes in the field. People need to wise up and not do that. But I'm very concerned about where we go from here. And Laurel, maybe you can close us out on that. Is where do we go from here?
Well, now I'm realizing why we said we were gonna, you know, cut me off here and let you guys talk about it. But I did want to hear what you guys thought, though. So,
yeah. No, are you surprised by what? Okay, we'll change the question. No, are you surprised by anything we said?
No, I mean, I fully expected that. You know, that's the thing. When you publish these stories, just I'm not seeking these headlines. I don't really like getting in the middle of these things. I sat on it a little while because I knew that, you know, there would be a reaction to it and it could impact, you know, how Brenner is viewed. It could impact, you know, how the club views him. I don't know, I never know how people are going to react after a story like this. So,
and there's blame to go around, right? I think there's blame to go all around. And I guess one thing I do want to allow you to say is you did contact the club, correct?
Yes, I did.
So the club knew you were going to post this and you did contact them asking for comment.
I did. And I even, you know, after I gave some time, did reach out and, you know, said, hey, you know, I did try to reach out. If you want to, you know, add anything to it, you know, feel free. I'm not surprised that they didn't comment. You know, they don't usually comment about just their player moves or, you know, possibilities of, right, of transfers or anything like that. So it's not surprising. You know, I'm sure it's going to be a topic that, you know, we obviously are going to be talking about with Pat Noonan at some point whenever we get him.
Tomorrow, don't you get him tomorrow on Thursday?
Since they don't have a game this week, kind of doing some different, we're not doing the normal availability. So yeah, it'll be interesting, but where do we go from here? I mean, I don't want to be part of it. That's all I know.
That's a fair response. That's a fair response.
Well, Laurel, we do appreciate you coming on, obviously in short notice, because we reached out as soon as we saw your post. Just really appreciate that. And we know you're jostling the family responsibilities, getting your daughter to sleep, but let everybody know how they can, how they can reach you or listen to your stuff and read your stuff. I know a lot of people follow you already, but just let people know how to do that. And we, again, appreciate you coming back on. You know, not your first time in U8Line, not your last time in U8Line. We just appreciate you and everything you do from a coverage perspective of this club.
You're here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And yeah, I know, you know, I am, my stuff is all behind a paywall. I do open some things up for free. So, you know, I will put the plug out that, you know, queencitypress.net, it's, and subscriptions are through Patreon. That people get confused by that. But so you can find me on Patreon or queencitypress.net. And then I'm on Twitter. You know, I try to respond to fans as much as I can. You know, I know they all have questions and I try to answer whatever I can. So I'm accessible. If anyone has questions, I'm on Twitter at just my name, Laurel, L-A-U-R-E-L, Failer, P as in Paul, F as in Frank, A-H-L-E-R. And yeah, I did start Queen City Press Instagram and Facebook accounts. So you can find me on there as
Facebook.
Well. Facebook. Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. Boy, you're a glutton for punishment, right?
It is very different from the fan groups. It is just, I post stuff. There's not much interaction.
That's a whole other podcast.
And how do we get Eric to change his allegiances in the EPL? How do we get Eric to stop being a City supporter? Is there any chance in that?
I don't think so. He liked them before they were the big, you know,
conglomerate. Champions.
I do like Pep Guardiola. I mean, I do like watching when he has
it's entertaining
because it is good. I mean, it's good football, soccer, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
But yeah, and you know, I'm sorry, but he did enjoy. He deserved to have some joy. I mean, the Bengals are good now, but he's been through a lot with the Reds and Bengals over the years, so it was nice for him to have Man City.
We've all dealt with it. Laurel, thank you for coming on. Until next time. Thank Adam, you. Steve, and myself, yeah, we appreciate it for sure.
Thank you.
And me too, Nate, on behalf of me too.
way to spice up the bye week, though. Really, it's fantastic to spice up the bye week.
Right. I just can't wait for the club announcement of a signing tomorrow. Out of left field. Right.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great. They can totally change the narrative and get people excited.
Is that a confirmation, Laurel? Is that a confirmation?
I don't know.
Well, tell the boys in the front office we said hi.
I will. All right, thank cool you guys, though. Take care.
Thanks, everyone. Night. Yep. Prost.
Prost.
3, 2, 1.